I'm going to talk to you today about delegated authority. A lot of Christians really miss it because they do not listen to the authorities that God has placed in their lives. You can't listen blindly or follow people blindly, but delegated authority is given by God to bless His people. So today we want to look at this thought. Everyone must submit themselves to the governing authorities. We live in a day when there is almost no respect for authority. That includes parents, teachers, policemen, and governors. So we need to respect those people that God has put into our lives as our authority. My mother has been my authority for many years. It doesn't mean I go to her and ask her if God wants me to start a church, but when she speaks into my life, I listen. She's 100, literally, now a little bit over 100, and I'm almost as old as she is. Okay. But I still respect her as an authority, and when she speaks, I listen. When the coronavirus pandemic started, God told me to submit to authority and stream our services and put them on the radio. Well, I was about to be a little rebellious because I was saying the government has no right to tell me I can't have services, you know. And if you think about that, they really don't. But God sometimes has a different plan, and you need to hear from God. So He spoke to me. I was driving up 40. 75, come into a staff meeting here at the church. The Lord spoke to me and He said, I want you to submit to authority. Flat up. I want you to stream the services on the internet and broadcast on the radio, and you'll reach more people than you do now. And that's what happened. I had the staff meeting. I said, is it possible for us to stream these services by Sunday? It was Tuesday. Is it possible for us to have the radio station's hooked up so we can go live by the radio? And I have a great team around me that does not believe in the word impossible. Amen. And so they said, yes, we can do it. And by Sunday, without having anybody present, we had live stream and radio, and we started reaching more people than we had before. And right now, there's probably somewhere around 135 we know of that listens by live stream. And when people go on vacation, they listen by live stream. We got people in other states right now listening by live stream. And one of us, my mother, 100-year-old mother. And so God has really used this in a mighty way. So what would have happened if I had refused and said, no, I'm not submitting to authority? Amen. I'd have missed God. You see, we were still having church, but just in a different way. And you know, God's got a plan. God's got a way. We need to listen and obey, and we need to listen to our authorities. God demands that we submit to authority, unless authority goes against the word of God. Now, once they go against the word of God and ask you to do something immoral, ungodly, you draw the line. If your boss asks you to lie, you have to draw the line. And because it's not God's will for you to be lying. And number two, if you lie to other people, He will suspect that you're lying to him or her. Can you say amen? So to rebel against God's delegated authority is to rebel against God. Now look at these scriptures. Don't assume I'm wrong. Just assume that the word of God is right. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 23. Moses rebuked Israel for their rebellion. And when the Lord sent you out from Kadesh Barnea, you said, go up. He said, go up and take possession of the land I have given you. But you rebelled against the command of the Lord, your God. You did not trust Him to obey Him. A lot of times it takes a lot of trust in God just to obey and do what He's asking you to do, because very often the devil make it look totally impossible. Verse 24, you have been rebellious against the Lord ever since I have known you. Since they did not trust God enough to obey Him, they missed the promised land and died in the wilderness because God had a great plan for them and they would not listen. You see, God wasn't speaking to them out of heaven on a megaphone. He was speaking to them through His delegate authority, Moses, and they just did not believe that Moses was speaking for God. You see, every command given by God is for our benefit. In this case, God was trying to give them a beautiful new home in a beautiful new promised land. But they did not believe him enough to go in. Now, a lot of people believe you serve God, you're going to live in a shack down by the railroad track. And you're going to live in poverty, and you're going to be sick most of your life because God's trying to teach you something. And so the truth is, though, that when God speaks to us, very often his plan is so far beyond our ability to believe, it blows our mind. And so don't worry about God having a little miserable plan for you, because he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to bless you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. When these slaves looked in the promised land, and they saw how beautiful it was and how wonderful it was, they just said, well, this is just too good to be true. And then they saw the giants and the walled cities and the armed guards, and they panicked and said, we can't do this. And they rebelled and refused to go in and died in the wilderness. I'm telling you right now, I've been a pastor a long time, and I've seen people that just didn't have the faith to step out and believe God, and their lives were a mess their whole life through. You've got to believe God enough to obey him, trust him. Very often disobedience is rooted in our lack of trust for God. And he does speak through delegated authority. Rebellion causes problems. There's a man in this church about 35, 40 years ago. He kept getting fired. I mean, I bet he got fired 10 to 15 times in a row. And he came to me one day, came to my house. He says, I want to know why I keep getting fired. I said, well, I'm going to tell you. Because he'd been telling me stuff along the way, and I heard things that he'd said. And I said, the reason you keep getting fired is because the boss asks you to do something, and you don't want to do it. I said, he's your boss. You need to submit to him and do what he asks you to do, unless it's something ungodly, immoral. And I said, the boss asks you to do something, and you won't do it. If he asks you to move a box, you move it. If he says move it again, move it again. If he asks you to move it 10 times, move it 10 times. He's the boss. Do not rebel against God's delegated authority. I said, that's why you keep getting fired. Well, he was taller than me, bigger than me, and big muscles, you know, and he looked like the way I look by faith. And he jumped straight up when I said that. We were sitting down in my living room. I thought, uh-oh, I said the wrong thing. And he said, you're right. And far as I know, he never got fired again. I lost track of him last several years. But rebellion causes problems. It was just in his spirit, his nature, probably because of things that happened to him as a kid. But if you want God's best, you have to learn to listen to God's delegated authority. Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. Joshua and Caleb said, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are your bread. He said, God is going to give us this land if you would just believe God. He says, their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Don't allow a fear of people to cause you to do what you know is not right before God. Do not allow the fear of people to cause you to rebel and not do the will of God. God called me and Dottie to come here and start this church from zero. It was very scary, but once we knew it was God, like old Peter, we had no choice but to step out on the water and start walking. He said, amen. We loaded a U-Haul and came here with everything we had in one U-Haul, so you can tell we were very rich. Okay, at least we had enough stuff to put in a U-Haul. And we just started from zero, and God has blessed us year after year after year. We're going to celebrate his blessings next week. Numbers chapter 13, verse 31. But the men who had gone up with them said, we cannot attack these people. They are stronger than we are. You see, they had a fear of people. Fear no one but God. Fear nothing but God. And fear him enough to pray and meditate on his word until you know what his will is. Don't be walking around in the dark. Don't be guessing. If God's called you to start a church, you can know that you know that you know. If God's called you to start a ministry, you can know that you know. Linda Deering came to me, 27 years ago? 27, more than a quarter of a century ago. Okay. And she said, the Lord told me to start Servants Hope. She had moved here from Michigan or some foreign country and moved here, and I thought she'd had a ministry like that there. And years later, I found out, she said, no, I didn't have any ministry like that there. God just told me to do it here. And what she does, she has a group of people that works with her. They go to the hospitals and minister to people, mostly from this church, and those who are shut in, and goes in their homes and pray for them and takes them to the doctor, helps them in all kind of different ways. And thank you, Jesus. And go, and you know, and goes into nursing homes, and during COVID, with all the threat, life-threatening threat of a virus, they kept, as much as they could, they kept going, kept ministering. Why? Because God told them to do it. You can't be afraid to do what God tells you to do. She's not paid. She's not an employee of the church. God called her to do it. She's been doing it for 27 years, and she's going to keep doing it. And I'm going to keep doing what God's called me to do till we just kill over dead. At least much as possible. That's my plan, to keep going until I drop over. You can ask God what his plan is, but that's my plan. You see, they refused to submit to Moses' delegated authority. They were not rebelling against Moses, but God. In Linda's case, if I had refused to let her do it, I'd been rebelling against God, and I'm the pastor. So God often speaks to us through other people and through delegated authority, and sometimes he speaks to the people who are under our leadership and under authority, and we need to listen to God's voice no matter where it comes from. I've heard God speak to me through outright sinners. Okay. God can speak through a donkey. Can you say amen? I mean, you know that. If he can speak through a donkey, then I got a chance to speak for God. God often speaks through delegated authority. We all must know God's voice for ourselves. Numbers chapter 14, verse 30, God says, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb and Joshua. You see, when we rebel against God, against God's delegated authority, we're going to have some major failures. God says, because you rebelled against me and would not go in and take your promised land and receive your beautiful new home, because you refused, because of fear, and because you saw some giants, and you saw armed guards, and because you rebelled, now you're not going to go in, you're not going to get your new home, your new promised land, you're going to die in the wilderness. Well, that was really hard and mean of God. No, I mean, he just brought them out of Egypt, and where could they go? If they went back to Egypt, Pharaoh would kill them. He was mad at them, and they wouldn't go into the promised land when God warned them to, so it was over for them. We have to be sure we hear and obey God, especially when it comes to God's delegated authorities over our lives. And so, if we can, no one of you will enter that land I swore to make your home except Caleb and Joshua. So God gave us a beautiful America. Let me say that's true. But all we do is complain because it's not perfect. This nation is not perfect because it's made up of imperfect people. And we have our problems. But if we continue attacking America, God might just give us over to the communists and let us see what life can really be like when you're out of the will of God. And so we need to thank God and praise God for what he has, the promised land that he's given us, and do everything we can to improve it and make it a better place, because when we complain, we're complaining against God. Amen. And America's in a mess because God's people will not stand up and be God's people. Most Christians won't even vote in this election. We're going to answer to God if we don't start voting. You'll see that in a minute. 1 Samuel 15, verse 23, Samuel said to King Saul, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. See, Saul was God's delegated authority. and he disobeyed God. You say, well, what happens when God's delegated authority rebels against God and starts doing wickedly? God will remove them, that's what. And we have to pray and believe that. Because we, the people, we decide who is in authority over us by voting. Amen. And so the authorities we have, we need to submit to them unless they come become rebellious like King Saul. And then we need to believe God, that God replace them and show us who to vote for to replace them. Wake up. You see, Moses was removed. Saul was removed from being king because he rebelled against God's authority. The man of God rebelled against God, and God removed him. God can still remove ungodly people like ungodly mayors and governors and presidents. Can you say amen? He not only can remove them, he will. But he wants his people, America, a government of the people, for the people, by the people. He wants his people to stand up and do their part by voting. That's the way this country is established. We choose our authorities and we sit back and don't do it. And we wonder why the ungodly people elect ungodly people to the school board, why they elect ungodly people to be mayor, why they elect ungodly people to serve as a city councilman and councilwomen, okay, and county mayors and governors, state legislatures. We sit back and wonder why we have bad people. We, the people that are born again Christians, are sitting back and letting the devil has his way. That's the problem. And don't get mad at me when I'm telling you the truth. You know it's the truth already. Amen. Miriam and Aaron, in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, Miriam and Aaron began to speak against Moses because of his Cushite. Get out of here, lying devil. You know who Miriam was? Miriam was Moses' sister that stood down by the Nile and watched her baby brother Moses floating around in the Nile, protecting him, in my imagination, protecting him from alligators and crocodiles. And then Pharaoh's daughter came by and found the basket he's floating in, pulled him out. Miriam ran up to her, Pharaoh's daughter, and said, would you like for me to get a Hebrew lady to come and nurse your baby? She said, yes. So Miriam went and got her very own mother, Moses' very own mother, to nurse him until he was weaned. And so God had really used Miriam in a great way as the sister of Moses. And so she no doubt thought, well, he's my little brother. I can say anything I want to say, do anything I want to do. And Aaron, the same thing. He was his brother. And he thought, well, we're family. I can say what I want to say. But look at this. Numbers chapter 12, verse 1, Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. So this is his sister and brother. They didn't like the lady he had married, and they were bad-mouthing Moses. Verse 2, has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they ask. Hasn't he also spoken through us? You see, we are equal to Moses. That's what they were thinking in their mind, because they were operating under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Miriam was a prophetess. I mean, she was greatly used of God. Aaron was the high priest appointed by God. And the Lord heard what they said. In verse 8, he says, with him I speak face to face, clearly and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He may be your brother, but he is my delegated authority. What was the difference? Moses was God's delegated authority, and they were not. Period. You see, when God wanted Israel to do something, he spoke through Moses. Everyone used in the gifts is not God's authority. You might say, well, they prophesy. They operate in the gifts of healing and miracles. God is using them in a great way. But God has not called them to be the authority in that arena. God always speaks to his authority. Verse 9, the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When God gets up and walks out of the room, you're in trouble. Okay. Miriam instantly had leprosy all over her. After they repented, she was healed. You see, Moses loved his sister. He was really upset when he saw that. He said, God, heal her. Moses wasn't really offended, but God was offended because they were rebelling against God's authority, not just Moses. He represented God's authority. God was defending his own authority, not just Moses. God defends his delegated authorities and punishes those who resist and disrespect them. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, Joshua was chosen as a leader. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. When God calls you to leadership or any position of authority, he will back you up. He's got your back because it's not your authority, it's his. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You see, God protects his delegated authority. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. This is one of my great promises. After we started the church, when you start a spirit-filled, on-fire church, you can have every kind of person show up. super spiritual, super mystical, and all kind of things. And some people are tares and wolves in sheep's clothing. So some of these people just showed up, and I was concerned about the well-being of the church. Not myself, but the church. So I went down the mountains, and I was just praying and seeking God. And he spoke to me, and he says, no man or woman will ever be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As long as you serve me and obey me and do what I tell you to do, no one will be able to hinder you or stop you your whole life through. Now, that promise is not just to me. It's to you. If God's called you to do something, no matter, it might look spiritual, it might be like a business. If God's called you to do something, no man will be able to stop you as long as you hear and obey God. So I'm not preaching this to let me know what kind of authority you have. I'm preaching this to let you know what kind of authority you have. But you have to listen to those in authority over you. And like that guy that kept getting fired, he needed to listen and respect his boss. If we want to be blessed, we got to approach it both ways. We got to be sure that we're hearing from God and obeying God, and that we're submitting to those in authority, not just being a pain to someone else. Do not be afraid to be a leader. It's important for us to know God's got our back. All authority belongs to God, but it is delegated by God through people. Romans chapter 13, verse 1. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. That's what the Word of God says. Well, preacher, let's get back to preaching on faith and healing and miracles. Listen, this is an important message. Very, very important message. Verse 2, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. So what is the basic authority we submit to as American citizens? What is the basic authority? Submit to authority. The basic authority we submit to is the Constitution of the United States of America and the leaders duly elected by we the people. That's the authority we submit to. I hinted at it a few times, but the Constitution of the United States of America lines up with this book, religious freedom, freedom of speech. All those things is right here in the Bible, and it's right here in the Constitution. That's why the atheists say they want freedom from religion. They want to change the Constitution to get this out, get the word out of the Constitution. And so our basic authority in America, as American citizens, it's the Constitution, and we the people elect those who are in authority over us. That's why I keep saying we must rise up and vote. This is to govern other people, for the people, and by the people. The people we elect tomorrow will be elected to rule over us, and they'll be elected by us, either by default and not showing up, or by showing up and voting. And if God's people show up and vote, then we'll wind up with better leaders. Amen. That Constitution is our authority. That's why they want to change it. It really is based on the Word of God. Anybody tells you indifferent is probably an atheist. They hate the Constitution, hate God, and hate you because you serve God. Jesus said, if they hate you, it's because they hated me first. Verse 4, he who is God's servant, to do you good, this is those in authority. All authority, let me read verse, let me start back here. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves, for he is God's servant to do you good. All authority is given for our good, to protect us and keep us safe, so we can provide for ourselves. God doesn't say anywhere in his book that the government's supposed to feed us. It says the government's to protect us so that we can work hard and produce for ourselves. People, some people who are basically Marxists say capitalism is evil. Capitalism is nothing but the freedom to work hard and provide for yourself. That's all it is. And God has provided that in America. If we work hard, get a good education, and have a good attitude, we can start at the bottom and move all the way to the top. And it's proven all around us all the time. People talking about rich people and wealth people. A lot of the people that's wealthy and rich right now have become rich in their own lifetime because of the freedom to work hard, to get a good education, and to do what they feel led to do. God blesses those who labor hard, like the parable of the talents. God blessed the guy that had five and worked hard and got 10. He blessed the guy that had two, worked hard and got 2. And he did not bless the guy that had one and wouldn't work. So capitalism is nothing more than the freedom to work hard and produce for yourself. And that is written right there in the Constitution. It's there that we have the freedom to do what we want to do. And if we sit back and let people take away our freedom because we're too lazy to vote, then we get what we deserve. Am I being too hard? I preach this to myself. Every time there's an election, I don't want to vote. You go and stand in line sometimes for an hour. When I got things to do, and I'd rather not do that. But I know I have responsibility for God. So I get out and vote. And I'm one of those people who like to vote early because I want to do it on my schedule, in my time, and get it over with. I get it done. And you say amen. And if you wait till the last day, what if you get sick? Of course, we're past the, it's too late to talk about that now. For this election, what if you get sick on election day and you can't go vote? So I like voting early. Verse 6, this is also why we pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants. You see, the policeman is God's servant. And you help select the policeman by electing the mayor. And you select the sheriff in this area by vote. And he picks the sheriff deputies, but you're his boss. See, somehow, we Americans, we've been somehow brainwashed to believe we don't have any authority. We are the authority. And I respect policemen. If they stop me, I treat them like royalty, treat them like God. And I'm so nice, most of the time, they just let me go. You come out way ahead just by being sweet and nice. Amen. Time or two, I've had policemen I thought were unfair, and I go after their job. Why? Because I'm an American citizen. They can't give me a hard time. I'm their boss, but they're my authority until they're gone, and then I use my authority to go over their head because they've done something that's wrong. I mean, my brother-in-law, we called the police because he's in North Georgia, and he had mental problems. And now he just went nuts. And so we called the police, and they go in his house and shot him twice in his own house, and they knew he was nuts. Now tell me that's not abuse. That's abuse. And you have every right to go after those people. Amen. So this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants. The policeman is God's servant, but God will hold him accountable. And you must hold him accountable if he abuses that authority. Who give their full time to governing. You see, one bad apple is no excuse to kill innocent policemen. There is no authority except that which God has established. The Marxists know they must destroy the police, defund the police, get rid of the police, or they will never be able to overthrow the United States of America. We cannot use the army inside of America, no matter what the lying Marxists say. And so they know if they can shut down the policeman, they can shut down the sheriff and the sheriff's office, sheriff deputies, if they can shut down, stop the National Guard, they can walk in and take over. And that's their plan. And we have to respect those in authority. And once again, get rid of the bad apples, but keep the authority. In Luke chapter 18, verse 7, Jesus says, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night?" Prayer is our greatest weapon. Look what Jesus said, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night?" If someone mistreats you, if an authority mistreats you, if you cry out to God day and night, Jesus said God will bring justice for you. Anybody believe that? You see, John Uchai, he was in the first service. And tell him that the second service is even better than the first. Would y'all tell him that? But he was back in the back of grid with me. He had a boss, very abusive. And he came to the men's prayer meeting week after week after week. And he said, "My boss is insulting me in front of the other employees. He's making fun of me and harassing me right in front of other people." And he said, "I just need for y'all to pray for me." And we prayed Saturday morning. And men, if you're not a part of the men's prayer meeting on Saturday morning, you need to be. Amen. And so we prayed over him every Saturday morning for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. And one day he came in, he said, "Guess what?" We said, "What?" He said, "They fired my boss." And that's happened to him several times. Have a boss that was abusive. And every time over the many, many years he's been with this company, they wind up firing the boss, and he keeps the job, and he continues to be blessed by God because God is in charge of justice. That delegated authority may be abusive for you, but God's got a plan for you, and he's got a plan for that boss if he doesn't treat you right. Amen. Man, y'all weak on amens today. Let's practice. Say amen. One more time. Amen. Okay. Verse 4. "For he is God's servant to do you good." Everyone in authority is to be a blessing to you, including the pastor. Every authority. As a parent, God has given those kids to you so you can bless them, not abuse them. Amen. Every delegate authority is ordained by God to help people and bless people. And anyone that's strutting around and bragging and crowing about how great they are, how wonderful they are, those people are not good delegated authority. I don't care who they are. Verse 6, this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. And then Luke chapter 18, verse 7, Jesus says, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? I tell you," verse 8, "I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly." You see, if we pray and keep on praying, God will give us justice. So we don't have to really worry about the authorities abusing us and mistreating us as long as we know how to get a hold of God and know how to pray. God will bring justice in every time. You see, people who abuse those in authority will end up in trouble with God. So people in authority can abuse people under them, and people under authority cannot abuse the authorities. We have to respect authority, and if we are mistreated, then God will balance it out. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, "Submit yourselves to the Lord's, for the Lord's sake, to every authority instituted among men, whether to the king as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do good. So Peter is saying the same thing that Paul says. We are to submit to authorities because we're to submit to kings and governors and all of those in authority, and because God has sent them to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do right. And so the purpose of government is really to protect us from criminals. And when you have DAs and judges setting criminals free, they are really doing us a great injustice, because those criminals will continue to hurt people. And they need to be locked up. And that is the purpose of authority, is to protect God's people. And for them to do their job, they have to have the respect of us, the citizens. We have to have their back, as long as they're doing a good job. You see, we have Paul and Peter both saying, submit to kings, governors, and every authority. All authority is instituted by God. John 19, verse 10. Now listen to this. Pilate, therefore, said to Jesus, he was talking and Jesus was silent. He wasn't answering. He wasn't answering back. He wasn't defending himself. He was just quiet. Pilate therefore said to him, you do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you? And Jesus said, he finally said something, and he answered, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me up to you has the greater sin. You would have no authority over me unless it had been given to you by my daddy. Jesus said even the authority that Pilate had to crucify him came from God. How many like the Bible? You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me up to you has the greater sin. You see, Jesus said the authority you used to crucify me came from God. And Jesus submitted to that authority to the point of dying on the cross. The authority to crucify Jesus came from God. But listen, Pilate did abuse his authority because he knew Jesus was innocent, and he allowed him to be crucified anyway. So he's accountable to God because he abused his authority by not setting Jesus free. Well, it was all pre-planned. Well, it wasn't pre-planned for Pilate to be an evil man. But God could see the future, and he knew what kind of man he was. And so he said, well, Pilate is not held accountable. He is, because he abused his authority. Amen. You see, God also requires submission to spiritual authority. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. You see, spiritual leaders keep watch over our souls. God does use leaders to speak into our lives. He uses preachers to preach the truth, hopefully. They're preaching the truth. Spiritual authority is more important than civil authority, but we are to submit to both. You see, God will use the pastor, leader, to speak into our lives, but we must listen. You say, well, what authority does the pastor really have? No authority in the natural. The only authority is the Word of God. And in my case, I just preach the Word of God and leave it up to you to decide what you're going to do with it. I have no authority to make you do anything. Amen. But if I hear from God, you may want to listen. And if you're praying and seeking God, God will speak to you. You ever heard of these LED lights? Okay. Lord spoke to me years ago and said, I want you to raise $40,000 a year to fix up this church. He spoke to the board. They all agreed 100%. It was God. The people in the congregation back then, they agreed it was God. And over the years, we've kept that going, $40,000 a year. This year, God only said way back there, $40,000 a year. But these lights were going to cost about three or four times that. Okay. Of course, we didn't know it at first because it's a lot of these lies have just been developed in recent times. And even the people who manufactured them had a hard time pricing them. And the installers, you know, there's a lot of questions. What's this going to cost? What's that going to cost? And it turned out to be around $130,000 in the end. By the time we figured out, it was too late. We were already in the middle of it. But I knew I'd heard from God. Church board was standing by me 100%. They knew they'd heard from God. And you got behind it because you had heard from God. And we raised $40,000, more than three times. Yeah, tripled it. And the Lord spoke to us at one point and says, triple it. Believe me to triple it. And so what's triple of 40,000? 120. You know how much we raised? And we needed every dime of it, $134,000, because we heard from God. That's what real leadership is. You follow your godly leadership as they follow God. Well, how do I know if they're following God? If you fast and pray and seek God, God will show you. But the proof is always in the pudding. Did it happen? This happened. And they're going to start installing this lights probably in just a week or two. And we're going to have all these lights and all these switches. Everything has to be changed out completely. So it could interfere a little bit with our services. So if you show up one Sunday morning and we're sitting out in the parking lot, just come on and join us. Get you a chair, sit out there with us. But they're working with us, and we're going to be able, I believe, to work around it. But the point is, you do not follow any leader blindly. Amen. And I've been preaching that for 44 years. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. I will give an account to God for everything I preach. Not only the next life, but he's sometimes right here now. I mean, he can come after you. He can come after me. Spiritual leaders keep watch over our souls. God uses leaders. Spiritual authority is more important than civil authority, but we submit to both. God will use the pastor, the leaders, to speak into our lives, but we must listen. We don't have to. Like the people of Israel, they didn't listen to Moses, and they missed the promised land. It pays to listen and pray until you know it's God or not. 1 Timothy 5:17, the elder, the pastors, elders as pastors in the New Testament, the elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Give double honor. Verse 18, it says, for the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while it is treading, while it's treading, and the labor is worthy of his hire. So when it says double honor, it really means double pay. Amen. If a pastor's working hard, doing a great job, and the pastor's over us, it says to give him a pay raise. Now, the board set up many years ago, well, when the church first started, that money is designated by the people to the pastor for his salary. And they've been talking about, explain that to you again. They need to explain it. But money's designated to me by you as you feel led. And then they supervise it. It's not just free willing. They know exactly what's going on. And then my pay comes out of that. But if there's not enough there to cover it, I don't get paid. But every time except for one time years ago, there's always been more than enough there. And every year, I give money back. Every year. Why? Because I didn't come here to make money. I came here to serve God, obey people. And I've given a lot of money back. So I'm not preaching this to try to get a pay raise. I'm happy, more than happy. But you need to know what the Bible says. We're to honor those who are good leaders and take care of them. Verse 19, do not receive an accusation against an elder, against a pastor or leader, except on the basis of two or three witnesses. I mean, sometimes the devil sends people to church and just says everything and anything they want to say about people in the church, attack the pastor, tell lies on the pastor and other leaders in the church. And it says, do not believe them unless they can establish it with proof, at least two or three witnesses. And when people say, well, did you hear this? Did you hear that? You just say, can you prove that? Now, if somebody starts a rumor on you in this church, do you want me and the other leaders in this church to stand up and say, can you prove that? Can you prove that Linda did that? How many know Linda didn't do it? And so we need to watch out for each other, not just the leadership. And people start slandering any of you, I'm right on top of it. I say, what are you talking about? Where'd you hear that? Where'd you hear that? Can you prove that? If you can't prove it, be quiet. That's what he says. Do not receive an accusation against an elder or pastor except on the basis of two or three witnesses. You see, we cannot receive a charge against any delegated authority without proof. We must ask, can you prove what you're saying? You see, we must make the same demand of politicians. I've never heard so many crazy lies and things going on at every level all across this country right now. And we need to stand up to these people and say, can you prove she said that? Can you prove she did that? Can you prove he said that? Can you prove it? If you can't, then shut up. I mean, be quiet. Is that not what the Bible says? And we just sat back and just believe anything. And Dottie said something to me the other day. She said, so-and-so said this. I said, did you hear him say it? She says, no. I said, we got video out there. You can hear for yourself if they said it. And I said, if you didn't hear them say it, then they didn't say it. That's my philosophy. And that's the truth, really. You got to prove it. And so, I don't know, like the next day she said, you know, I heard them on the video, and they did not say it. They said something different. Listen, quit believing anything and everything people say. Make them prove it. That's why I'm so quick to try to prove everything that I say. And if I say, God said raise a certain amount of money, I'm going to get up and tell you if he raised it or not. The reason people trust me around here is because I've been here 44 years. And every time I've said, thus saith the Lord, it's been proven to be true. Well, you must be something special. No, not at all. I just pray until I hear. And you can pray until you hear from God. 1 Corinthians 11:1. And we want to just forget communion and just keep on preaching. Anybody in favor of that? That's what I thought. No. Okay. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. He says, follow me as I follow the Lord. This is the Bible example of spiritual leadership. God calls men like Joshua, and cause people to follow that man as long as he follows the Lord. As long as he's hearing from God and it's proven to be true, you follow him. And when he starts messing up and he's not hearing from God, you don't follow him anymore. Or at least until he gets back on track. Do not follow blindly. I believe in following leaders. I'm a part of an organization. I have to submit to authority. And very often I pray, is this right? I have responsibility for God to hear from God myself. And not just take anything and everything authority over me says. Do not follow blindly. Pray until you know. You see, we need leaders who recognize God's voice. And we need to follow them as they follow the Lord. And just in the case of these LED lights, it's very simple. Me and the board said, thus saith the Lord, you heard from God. And how do I know you heard from God? Because the money came in. You wouldn't have given that kind of money if you hadn't heard from God. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. You see, when authority contradicts the word of God, we go with the word of God. Amen. This is the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. Do you know who to vote for? You need to pray until you know who God wants in every position, from the school board to the mayor's office to the governor's office to the senators, the congressmen. Amen. You can pray until you know, because this is the government of the people, for the people, by the people. You are the government, and you need to vote for people that God tells you to vote for. Let's all stand.